just to keep track of things here, we're going to start dating these at the beginning. So this is recorded on June 3rd. Just leaving work here. I got a roughly half an hour drive to get home. Gives me enough time to do a podcast. I have started a new job at a different location. I guess I'll cover that a little bit. Again, this isn't a place where I talk about work, but I will talk about the impact of a new job on me. I was working some pretty cruddy hours at the last place, and the whole reason I had started the podcast was to keep awake on the road. Well, now I have regular, normal daytime hours, so I will have a life again. Things will get back to normal again. I'll be more awake. I won't be falling asleep on the ride home. But I'm just going to have to be working into finding a new way to work these podcasts in. But I still drive. So the new work location is closer to home. And generally it takes me 5 or 10 minutes to get to work, which is absolutely crazy. So it's not enough time for me to record a podcast. While the other location was minimum half an hour away, which basically drove how long my podcast was. So anyway, today I'm working at a different location at the new job, so what that means is, I can still record this podcast at least once a week. At the other job, I was able to record the podcast every single day, twice a day, if need be. So today I want to talk about a couple things. So yes, I'm going to be more lucid. I'm going to be more awake. I'm going to be a happier, gentler soul. So this is basically 3 weeks. Let's see. My baby was just born. And my baby was born 05/05. So my baby will be a month old. In 2 days from now, my baby was born a Cinco de Mayo baby, so 05/05, and she's gonna be a month old. So it's been a month adjusting to the feedings and all that sort of stuff. I took some time off from the band just to get my head together, get things figured out. We still haven't posted the video yet. I've yet to see the video, and I'm hoping I'm going to get to watch the video tonight. Got my fingers crossed. The director is coming over tonight for a game night with me and the wife and her spouse-to-be or whatever. So hoping to get a chance to watch that today. Today I reconnected a little bit with a gentleman who used to be in the band called Gin Taxi. Which was a local band here quite some time ago now. They had some moderate success in the city. They used to go under the name Bliss until they changed the name to Gin Taxi for whatever reason. But they had a pretty good following here in the city, and they did get to open for a variety of great bands. I've seen them perform a whole bunch of times. Well. I kind of got me on a YouTube, bit of a YouTube frenzy. So I kind of looked up some live video of the band, and they actually went ahead and actually, you know, got sponsorship to make a music video back in the day. They got a grant, I believe it was, or something, and they had a grant to make their CDs back then. When they were doing their thing, it was not quite as straightforward to be a musician and to put music out. You actually had to go to a studio. You had to lay down some serious coin. You want to make a music video? Same thing. Everything cost money and was very, very difficult. So nowadays, in my band, we're actually, you know, recording the music ourselves, producing the music ourselves, like all that sort of stuff. And it's a much simpler process these days than when he was in the trenches. So anyway, so we just kind of did a little bit of that today. besides that, I want to talk about a few things that are going on right now. X-Men Apocalypse was released last weekend to what the industry, and again, this is the industry talking, so is it really the industry, or is this critics and that sort of thing? I went on that long diatribe about the Batman v Superman whole thing that was going on, how the media was trying to bury the movie. It's a similar thing that's going on with X-Men Apocalypse right now. They predicted a ridiculous opening for the movie, and again, the magic number that we're looking at for a movie to be quote-unquote profitable, I have no idea why this is the magic number, but for a movie to be profitable, it needs to break $1 billion nowadays. Batman v Superman didn't quite break that $1 billion in movie sales, but X-Men Apocalypse had a bit of a soft opening. It was the number one movie. It did make a really strong, decent opening. By no means a failure. Its overseas gross is doing really well. I think if this movie, quote-unquote, fails, it'll probably be at the 500, 600 million mark. Is it any good? Am I going to go see it? Well, I've got a baby, so we'll see how that goes. As of right now, Captain America Civil War, which I did manage to see in theaters, I did a Stars and Strollers at Cineplex, because they offer, you can take your baby to the movies with you and watch a movie with your baby with you. It was a bit disastrous. We had a difficult time wrangling one of my children during the movie, and my wife ended up missing most of the movie as a result. It was kind of detracted from the enjoyment of the movie, and my initial reaction was that Batman v Superman was a superior movie to Civil War, but need to keep in mind that the reason for that is probably more to do with I couldn't really pay attention to the movie, and because there was some thinking involved in this movie, that I wasn't able to fully enjoy it like I should have. But anyway, so I did see Civil War. Did I like it? Yeah, I did like it. Am I going to give it a full review like I did Batman v Superman? I might down the road, but right now I just want to kind of stroke off the news items that have popped up. I did enjoy it. I really enjoyed this iteration of Spider-Man. There's a few things that were kind of odd about it, but overall, he had a much larger role in the movie than I expected. I was a little bit worried that there was too many characters in the movie, that it was going to cause some issues, but it really felt like a Captain America comic book from the 80s, where half of the time Captain America's life revolved around being an Avenger, so everything that happened was Avengers related, and half the time the Avengers were in his comic book, so it really had that 80s vibe to it, that, you know, this is the Marvel Universe, everyone's going to be all over the place. Throwing Spider-Man in was a nice touch, because in Captain America, I mean, sure, there was Avengers showing up all the time, but another big thing in Captain America was he is the most respected hero amongst the hero community, despite all that Civil War jazz. So it wasn't unusual for Cap to suddenly have a run-in with Spider-Man, or Cap to suddenly have a run-in with Power Man or Iron Fist, or to suddenly have a run-in like with just these completely random list of heroes. From A-listers to Z-listers. So the movie kind of had that vibe, and I kind of enjoyed it. It was a bit of a retro feel. It still had the style that Ed Brubaker brought when he took over the Captain America run in the comic books, that really popularized Captain America again, and kind of, even though Cap has this Boy Scout image, it wasn't really grounded. It was just, Boy Scout. But now with Ed Brubaker's take on Cap, kind of explain the Boy Scout-ness, but kind of put it in a more real-world framework. So he didn't. It made him less of a goody two-shoes, more of a positive person, as opposed to a impractical, unrealistic version. Less away from like the Superman, to more of a realistic hero who's a very good person. So that has had to make hard, very hard decisions. So I did like the tone. The tone kind of matched both. There was a lot of stuff going on in the movie, so it was a little more jarring than Winter Soldier was. But there was so many good moments that it kind of didn't really matter. And in some ways, this movie was better than Age of Apocalypse. Or sorry, Age of Apocalypse. The Avengers Ultron movie. So, positives, negatives. Overall, I mean, it was a very enjoyable popcorn film. Oh, yeah, for sure. Did I have fun? Oh, yeah, for sure. Was I bored throughout the movie? No. So, I mean, It missed some of the serious tone from Winter Soldier, but I don't know. It was a different movie. It was really good. It was not like, let's not redo Winter Soldier. Let's have a different movie. So I really liked that it was able to change tone. So I really, really enjoyed that aspect. So what else is going on? Well, Suicide Squad is coming up around the corner, and there's all this talk about how the quote-unquote failure of Batman v Superman has created a change to the Suicide Squad movie. And there's also talk about how the success of Daredevil has made them make changes to the Suicide Squad movie. This is just a bunch of scuttlebutt and a bunch of people talking. What happens when you are managing a series of films, and Marvel does this all the time, they're always making slight adjustments, slight changes. Are they driven by what they're seeing on their Twitter feed? Are they driven by what social media is saying about the movie? Or are they adjusting as they get, you know, new writers involved or new producers involved? Or as they cast a new actor in the film, and it's like, well, we have this actor now who has all these strengths. We might just, you know, change the script a bit. And the way the Marvel Universe is set up as a film industry is that it's continuously changing. And how is it continuously changing? It's no different than the writing rooms at Marvel or DC, where they bring all the writers together to make sure there's a continuity between all the titles, to make sure that there is a unified goal that all the writers are going towards, to make sure they're not bumping into each other. Or the characters are bumping into each other in ways. So, for example, let's go back when Spider-Man unmasked publicly in Civil War way back in the day. How is that going to impact the rest of the Marvel Universe? Will it have an impact? So just things like that. Like, it's kind of a writer's form. And the Marvel movies do exactly the same thing. There's always a discussion as to where they're at. And Kevin Feige, he's the guy that kind of making sure that, well, wait a minute, we can't do that because it breaks this or that breaks that. So DC's quote-unquote restructuring to deal with the Batman v Superman fallout is all just people talking. It's just a bunch of talking heads saying, hey, this broke or this didn't work or blah, blah, blah. Is that really, really what's happening? I don't know if that is. They're shifting and reshuffling, and with Geoff Johns' involvement, it's more of a let's get a Kevin Feige type sort in there to keep all the balls up in the air and to make sure that the balls aren't hitting each other and to make sure everything's being balanced. There's a whole glut of films coming out, and if you don't have someone overseeing the entire process and making sure, like at the writers' conferences that they have in the comic books, they're just treating it the same way that the comics are done, or the showrunner for a TV series does it. Like, when they have all these writers and, you know, this writer's writing this episode and that writer's writing that episode, but it's going to culminate to those 23 or 23 episodes for a season. But because of the quick nature and the quick turnaround, of a TV series or a comic series, because there's so many moving parts, you have a showrunner that is keeping everything together, unified, and making sure that all the balls are being kept up and juggled properly in the air. So the same thing is happening with the DC movies. And for people to, you know, scuttlebutt and say, oh man, you know, they're restructuring to deal with this. And yeah, you know what? They're probably, yes, they are reacting to what's happened with the movies. They're kind of, okay, you know, they like this, people didn't like that. People really like this, people didn't really like that. So they're making slight adjustments as they go. No different than what the comics are doing. No different than what a showrunner will do for a TV series. So is it because there's a problem, or is it just keeping the balls up in the air? Like, really, that's all it really is. It's just to make sure that everything is still going to work. So to throw in a negative light is absolutely wrong. To look at it in a positive light, to say that they're just keeping all their balls up in the air, is really more of what's going on. So anyway, with Suicide Squad coming out, they're getting the same similar sort of hype that Deadpool got before it came out. And because of the similarish nature and the ultra violence of both films, I think there's basically a bunch of talk to say, hey, this might be the next Deadpool. And there's a lot of similarities. So is Suicide Squad going to have Deadpool-like numbers? Very good chance of it. I think the idea is that if something is good enough, it doesn't really matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's a super recognizable property or not. A good movie is a good movie. It's that simple. And if Suicide Squad is going to be a good movie because of the tone of the director has chosen, and the way it's all put together, a good movie is a good movie. So, am I excited to see it? I'm very interested in seeing it because of the trailers, because the movie is taking itself seriously. It feels just like Daredevil. We're like, look, we're making the movie we want to make, and we're very passionate about it, and we really like our material. And, you know, they're standing behind their movie, and that's what makes me want to see it. It's that confidence that they're making a very good product. What else do I want to talk about? What else is in the news? My good friend Dylan was over, and we were kind of talking about Star Wars in general, because he's a Star Wars freak. We put together a really good game of, we were playing, Risk, the Star Wars version of Risk. Not the new one that's out there, but it's kind of an older iteration of the Star Wars Risk, where you're playing three factions. You're playing either the Empire, the Rebels, or the Hutts. So it works as a three-player game. It also works as a four-player game, but I think it can also work as a six-player game. It's very versatile in its rule set. It's very, very, very fun. And it doesn't play like regular Risk. There's a lot of different aspects to it. To be honest, I can't go back and play Risk now, because this version of the game is a much better version of it. And they really changed the rules around. The general mechanic is there, but they've got enough changes to it that it is its own game. Anyway, so as we were playing this, you know, of course we're talking about Star Wars, you know, we're talking about The Force Awakens, how we both enjoyed it, how they had enough coverage of legacy within the movie to keep the time-honored fans happy, to reintroduce new fans to the legacy, to show them what we fell in love with the legacy of Star Wars. And we started talking about Rogue One, and after we both saw the trailer for Rogue One, which is the next Star Wars film coming out, which is not Episode 8, it is an in-betweener film, I'm very excited about Rogue One. In fact, if the trailer for Rogue One had been released prior to the release of Episode 7, The Force Awakens, it might have dulled my excitement for The Force Awakens. This seems like a really cool film. I was not excited about Rogue One until I saw the trailer. And when I saw the trailer, I pretty much crapped my pants. Original concept, still within the Star Wars universe, by kind of taking a sidelong, perpendicular look of events that happened. Wow, what a great concept for a movie. The fact that they're actually pitching this, putting the movie out, and putting the dollars behind it. Ah, man, really, really excited. In fact, my excitement for this is, I'm more excited. I actually waited 2 weeks, I think, to see The Force Awakens because of babies and Christmas and all that sort of stuff. I don't think I can wait that long to see this one. I'm actually starting to make plans for Christmas this year on seeing the movie, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see this. Conceptually, everything is right with this movie for me. What else is going on? Well, I got one more topic to cover. I'm at the 21-minute mark of this podcast, which I can now see because of how I'm recording the podcast. Destiny. Broke down. We are a 2 Xbox console home because my wife and I both game. We both enjoy playing. And because of the stupidity of Xbox and PS4, for that matter, or really the people that design the games that go into these consoles, neither console is a family console anymore. They may brag about how it's your multimedia center, how you can watch your movies from here, how you can listen to your music from here. It's got all these apps so you can, use it for the family, except when you're gaming. It does not. My big pet peeve with all the systems is that you cannot game as a family on there unless you're playing sports games. Well, I'm not interested in sports games. So we broke down and got our hands on a second Xbox One so we can both play. Now, the downside to owning 2 consoles is you have to buy 2 games every time. Not so with the Xbox One. I'm not sure how this plays across the PS4. But with the Xbox One, if you are digitally downloading your games, which I had been against initially, is that you can play the downloaded game across 2 consoles. You have to buy the game once. Now, this is a definite improvement over the Xbox 360, where if you had 2 consoles, you needed 2 hard copies of the game to play. I'm very happy with this. And currently, we have bought a secondhand version of Destiny, which had minimal play on it. My wife and I have not been playing cooperatively on the Xbox One because of the lack of split screen. But lately, though, with the 2 Xboxes and the ability to do what I've just spoken about, we've been playing. So we picked up a secondhand copy of Destiny, and we returned Rock Band 4, as I discussed before, and we've decided to give Destiny a shot together again, and we're having a blast. We've got the Taken King DLC, which is really an improvement upon the storylines, an improvement in the franchise. Everything just looks nicer, crisper, better. Having a blast playing it. We're just trying to get Sylvie, my wife, up to my level because she hasn't played as often as I have. We're trying to get her leveled up to where the rest of us are. And we're just having a blast playing it. And you know what? Destiny might have got some poor reviews coming out of the gate. Specifically the multiplayer, the first game that that Bungie has made that didn't have the split screen multiplayer. I'm sure that flack hurt it quite a bit, but excuse me, we're enjoying the heck out of this game. The replayability of this game fits in with previous Halos where you could play the crap out of it. There's so many formats and ways you can play the game and enjoy the game. It's not just a campaign, but it can just be a campaign. It can just be multiplayer. It can be cooperative multiplayer. It can be, like, well done. Well done. I have nothing but good things to say about the game. Really enjoying being part of the Destiny players. And, in a happy mode here. So, I think that's all I got to say. I'm at the 25-minute mark. Still making better time getting home at the new job than I did at the old one. Even when I'm working at a much further away location. So, I'm going to cap it off here. Peace, love, and hugs. Tell your brother you love him. That's what I always say. And your brother may be blood, or your brother may be your brother from another mother. And to quote Rumpard Reviews, there's always another fig. See you later, guys.